And I'm sure that at one point or another you've probably used this phrase, and usually it's because something is not going according to plan. So you might say something like, well, in an ideal world, or in a perfect world. For instance, in the political debate, you might say something like, well, in an ideal world, everyone has health care and it's free. That would be an ideal world. Or you might say, well, in an ideal world, whatever job I have would be one that I love to do, and I would do it even if I weren't paid at all. In an ideal world, I'd have the perfect job. Or in an ideal world, injuries wouldn't affect the outcome of sports games, things like that. In an ideal world, we wouldn't have to work at all. We could just play and have fun and enjoy life, go fishing, all those kind of things. An actress who I really enjoy watching her stuff said once, in an ideal world, no one would talk before 10 a.m. People would just hug because waking up is really hard. We use this phrase, in an ideal world. And the fourth commandment to me sounds like one of those things that is attached to an ideal world, a perfect world. Well, in a perfect world, in an ideal world, honoring your father and your mother just comes naturally. It's easy to do. They're deserving of honor. It's something, you know, your parents, they have authority, but they're not a dictator. They're nurturing, but not a pushover. They're present, but not overbearing. That's an ideal world. In an ideal world, your parents are perfectly loving, just, and caring. And in an ideal world, children naturally just honor their parents. They listen and they look at you when you talk to them. They're obedient. They're serving. They sleep in on Saturdays. In an ideal world, they change their own diapers. You know, it's just, if this is the ideal world. And if we had this ideal world, we would receive this promise that is attached to this command. This is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, the new covenant, or the covenant that God gave to the people of Israel, that has a promise to it. Obey this command, honor your father and mother, and it will go well for you in the land that I am giving you. If parents were perfect, if children were perfect, things would go really well. We could lay claim to this promise of obedience. But you know we do not live in an ideal world. That phrase exists because we do not live in an ideal, perfect world. If you are a Minnesota Vikings fan, you know this truth. It is not an ideal world. If you are a farmer, you know this truth. Things don't go to plan. It's not an ideal world. If you are a parent, you know this truth. If you are a child, you know this truth. Parents aren't always easy to give honor to. We live in a world where fathers abdicate their responsibilities, or they're tyrants. Mothers. We live in a world where mothers often choose to nurture themselves rather than their children. We live in a world that has organizations like social services, child protection services, because we do not live in an ideal world, because there are parents that are not doing and taking the responsibility that God has given them. When I worked at camp and I was the director, every single year I was there, I had to file some kind of report to Child Protection Services, because there would be a kid with bruises or a kid that was reporting some kind of neglect. It's awful. Parents, we have a lot to answer for, because God has given us a calling. And part of this calling is then to receive honoring, because honoring is a high position. Luther talks about how showing honor to somebody is greater than showing them love, because it contains all that. It contains respect, it contains submissiveness, and when done right, I guess, it contains love too. But the onus of this commandment is on children. Children are amazingly efficient at disobeying this commandment of honoring father and mother. I swear it happens all the time. Every moment of parenthood is realizing this command is being violated against you. But, as I said, we are all also children. Even the oldest amongst us, and I won't look in that direction over there. Even the oldest amongst us are children. And even though our parents might be long gone, we still are called and commanded to honor them. Honor the teaching that they gave us. Honor the things that they commanded of us long ago. And let's not forget, too, that in Luther's Small Catechism, in his explanation, he reminds us that it's not just, this commandment isn't just about honoring father and mother. It really is about the source, which is honoring authority in general. All authority is to be honored. Romans talks about how God has put people in power whom he chose. We might not like it. They might not be God-honoring people, but God is the orchestrator of that. All authority comes from God. Government, civil, parental authority. This commandment really acts as a bridge between the first three commandments and the rest of the commandments. The first three commandments are all about our relationship with the Lord. You shall have no other gods before me. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Those are all commandments about the Lord. The rest of the commandments from here on out are about our relationship with other people. And this bridges those two things, because this one has to deal with people, but it's the people that God put in authority over us. They exercise God's authority. They stand in the Lord's place in the family. Our parents do. So when we think about how we break this commandment, is it any wonder why things are not going well in the land in which we dwell? One of my favorite Vikings coaches of all time was never actually a head coach. He was their defensive coordinator. His name is Tony Dungy. Just a fantastic coach, but an even better man. A solid, strong Christian man, and he stands up and he tries to get fathers to be better fathers. And he has an organization that focuses on this, because he has realized that when fathers especially abdicate their role as fathers or are tyrannical in their roles as father, that the society breaks. It falls apart. And I think we see this especially when you look at inner city living and the lack of true fatherhood there. It falls apart. So I would invite us tonight to think and reflect on this as we go through the rest of the service and into your night and the rest of your week. How do you break this commandment? How do you honor this commandment as a parent? How does this commandment affect you as a child? And how does this commandment affect you as a civilian. Now, thankfully, we have Jesus Christ, because as Jesus teaches us in the New Testament, we are guilty, really, of breaking all the commands. You break one, you've violated all of them. So even if you've been the perfect child, you are guilty of breaking this command. But Jesus did not. He obeyed his Father perfectly, ideally. He obeyed his Father even to the point of death on a cross. And because Jesus died for you and he died for me, he invites us then to be part of the Lord's family. When we are baptized into the Lord's family to be a child of God. And as a child of God, we can pray this prayer that Christ taught us, the Our Father, and we can look to the heavens and address the God and creator of the entire universe as Father. A Father who provides all we need. A Father who gives us his word, teaches us, corrects us. A Father who guides us through all of life. And of course, a Father who through his Son forgives all our sins. What a wonderful and heavenly Father we have. Let us pray. O gracious, merciful, and heavenly Father, we give you all praise and glory due to your name, and we thank you that we can, in fact, call you Father. We thank you for your Son, who earned this right for us by being perfectly obedient to his Heavenly Father, obedient to the point of death on a cross, becoming our servant. We ask, O Lord, that you would forgive us our sins. Help us to be better parents, to teach our children what they need to know, to help them to obey this commandment. We pray, too, that as children, you would help us to obey this, to honor our father and mother, and to have a better idea of what that means. We ask for your Spirit to help us. We pray this in your name. Amen.